And the moment was just one of those moments that you remember and you won't forget. And that, for me, is what a gathering is about, having a moment that you will remember for the rest of your life. And this is the theme of my presentation. One part looking back, one part looking forward, one part being present.
Dun 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 da. Dun 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 da. Dun 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 da. Dun 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 da.
This sculpted narrative goes out to all the giants upon whose shoulders I stand. If I can see further, it is only because of their storied vision. Let me begin with Richard Feynman.
What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Spread Love FM. I am your host, Trev, and I thank you all for joining us here. Always appreciate you giving me the time to listen, to share, to learn, to educate, all of that good stuff. And as you guys may have recognized in the last couple of episodes, we were kind of teasing we have a new setup. We have my Mac here, some of my memorabilia, some of the good stuff that I that kind of make up who I am. And so we are now in season two, episode one of Spread Love FM. We've got a lot of changes. We've updated the website, a new design scheme. We have a different strategy for how we approach our community. All of these things, we've been doing this for 3 years, and it's come together, and now it's time for just to let loose and let it rip. Like they tell Zach Wilson, the New York Jets quarterback, let it rip. Don't think about it. And that's kind of where we are now. So I hope you guys enjoy the new vibe, the new feel, how we are including you, our community. I also got a new outfit. The collective, that opening track that you heard, is from the collective. I used to wear the hat. The hat's now up there. I got the shirt on now. And that track, by the way, so interesting about the collective. I don't know if you can see this here, but we have a thumb drive. Can you see that? Let me see if you can see that. There we go. Thumb drive. That's that track. It's the only way you could get that track. You have to find a way to connect with the collective. They'll get you that track. It's a 30-minute long track. It's amazing. And if you want it, reach out to me, and I could connect you with the collective. They got a whole good thing going on there. And we have an interview with them if you want to go back to season one, if you want to hear more about what's happening there. But and big ups to the collective. So today we're talking about empty connections. Do you have thousands of online engagements, but not a single real world connection? Well, we're going to show you how to build an analog community in a digital world. It's going to be curated by me, season two, episode one, curated by me. And I put together Ricky Powell, rest in peace, inspired presentation for you. And this is what we're going to be doing with our community moving forward. We're going to have different neighbors curating different episodes, showcasing their art, their talents, the resources that they have. And this is what building community is about. But before we get into that, let's have our announcements. So announcement in this case, we have, of course, for all of you Florida, Spring Hill, Florida, Hernando County residents, we have our free groceries and our free lunches at Miguel's every Sunday. And we have a lot of exciting things happening with that as well in the coming weeks. But for now, every Sunday, you can go online, scan the code, free order, pick them up at Miguel's Latin Market. Meet us at Miguel's. So let's get right into the show. Why don't we? You can feel I got the energy, right? I got so much energy. I feel so good about what's happening. Anyway, so community, a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes and interests. Community. And I want to just kind of go over our mission because this is something that really developed over the past 3 years. And it came together in only one way, and it couldn't happen any faster. And this, bringing this mission statement that I have here, I'm going to break it down really quickly for you because we want to get into the show. But that photo, just so you know, it's one of my first days at probably the most memorable gathering that I will ever be a part of, McCarran Gathering in Brooklyn, New York City. It's where we spent right in that space that you're looking at. Me, myself, I spent a year and a half with a group of neighbors who got together to fight for social, environmental, and economic justice. And we sat in that space every single day, rain or shine, whether it was 90 degrees outside or 10 below, whether it was snowing or whether it was raining, we were there. And that's where Spread Love Free Market grew out of. We had one night every Friday night, our economic night. And the mission statement grew out of that over time. And I want to read this for you quickly. Our mission is to redefine how we perceive, exchange, and distribute value. That's the first part. That's the first year. The second year, to compel our neighbors to take the practical steps we provide that lead to radical social, environmental, or economic change. That's what we established in the second year. And in the last year, to double down on our commonalities, to set aside our differences, and follow our moral compass. And over the course of time, that became our mission statement. And I say that because what we're going to be doing in upcoming episodes is having different neighbors curate this podcast. And we want to ask them at the end of the curated podcast and interviews and the live gatherings if they connect to any one of these three pillars of our mission statement. So I just want to read it to you now, and so that you would know where we're going. But we'll, of course, remind you at the moment when we ask the curator about which pillar in our mission statement do you most connect to. And I'll ask myself. I'm curating episode one, season two, so I'll ask myself in the end. As I mentioned, we have a new strategy. We've put all of those three pillars together. The redefining our value, the compelling our neighbors to act practically, and the doubling down on our commonalities. These three pillars, we've put them together and we've now embodied this. And now we can let it rip. Like I said, again, like Zach Wilson, New York Jets, soon to be Hall of Fame quarterback. I know I'm jumping way ahead. He's horrible now, but I believe in you, Zach. I believe in you, Zach. Let it rip. And that's what we're doing. We're letting it rip because we have now embodied that. We spent all of this time planning and plotting and taking our time and developing in our neighbors. And first year, 3 years doing this. And the first year of the podcast, we now in our second season, our first year of the podcast was kind of finding our footing, kind of finding our voice, finding our formula. And I'll tell you something that really... a podcast that I listened to, you know, last year we used to do our podcast reviews. We're going to kind of shy away from that this year to focus on our neighbors. But I did a lot of reviews and I still listen to podcasts, of course. And podcasts I was listening to the other day, they were talking about a couple of podcasters who had millions of views monthly, millions of followers. And they were still asking themselves what, you know, starting off with nothing like most of us do and setting up these goals. I want to get 1 million subscribers. I want to get 1.5 million subscribers. And then when they got there, they both said that, okay, now what? You know? And I spoke a little bit about this in episode, in season one. I think it was episode, actually it was a bonus episode. Actually, it was an episode, 19 or 18. But it was the one where I spoke about the challenges of going viral. And this podcast also had a similar similar subject matter. And the challenges of going viral, especially with my platform of economic justice and not wanting to be a victim of the algorithm. And they spoke about, they would get, you know, one podcast that got 30 million views. And he went from 30,000 subscribers to 300,000 subscribers. And he spoke about how he was like that rat in the experiment that's, or the mouse, was it the monkey or whatever in the experiment that was just swiping to get food, who's clicking the thing to get food. And how harmful that, how he felt that this is not what he wants to be. He wants to do it because he loves podcasting or recording or storytelling. And that's similar to what I felt. And I spoke about this in the episode, you know, from 5 or single digit views and likes up to 50,000 views on the bonus episode that I just kind of threw up there. And I felt that how it was harming me. And since that time until now, until actually I listened to that episode yesterday, I was wrestling with this. I was struggling with this and wanted to go into the second season with a healthy point of view. And really the only thing I could, not the only thing, the positive thing that I got from that, and it was just last night, because even this first episode was going to be playing to the algorithm. But then I thought about it. What is it that I want to do, you know? And I'll go back to that slide that I have. You know, 800 downloads on Buzzsprout, 50,000 downloads on YouTube. But what does it all add up to? Not, you know, it's almost feels artificial, meaningless. And then I thought about the community that I envision and the pillars that we have and the connections that we want to make. And what is really important is real world connectivity. And I thought about the gathering, this gathering that I spent a year and a half. They spent over 2 years, day, every single day. And how that was meaningful. That was not online. That happened in the real world. We were making actual connections. We built Spread Love FM from that to do something for the community. And I thought that's what I want to do with season two, moving forward with my activism. Online is one thing, but I need something greater that will, I mean, if I get addicted to real world connectivity, that's fine. You know, it's real work. It's being out there in the community for good, making change. For me, economic justice. So I thought about the gatherings and what is a gathering, the definition. Feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common interests, common attitudes, interests, and goals. And that's what it is I want to do. And that's what it is I want to share with the community. And we have a platform now out of our Hello Neighbor, a platform that we started towards the end of our pillars, our third pillar, double down on common interest, common goals. And we are now taking kind of what I've learned from my greatest gathering of all time, McCarran gathering, and applying it to communities anywhere. Oh, my Mac always goes on sleep. Come on, Mac. There you go. Ashley Wood, by the way, great graphic artist. And I said, let me replicate that. And not only the gathering at McCarran Gathering, which was a great experience for almost everyone involved, but the gatherings I've had before, and, you know, going back to the days when I was a videographer, and this is what this is, this episode is going to be about, my road path as a videographer. And everybody's going to have their own curated showcase. And I want you to imagine, so this is going to be my topic. I'm just going a little bit off to describe what's going to happen with Spread Love Free Market. Imagine us in a room. So we're going to have a series of gatherings in different venues, whether it's somebody's home, whether it's a community center, whether it's a school, whether it's a church. We may have a projector projecting the presentation, or we may just have a conversation, a circle of neighbors discussing, chatting. So what we want to do, and what I'm going to do, so imagine a projector, which I'm going to project here on our screen today, a presentation of my past, my video career, my gatherings from before YouTube or early YouTube, to how I documented these series of gatherings, how I documented these artists. And for the neighbors who may find value in that, maybe you want to be an artist, maybe you want to pursue your dreams of creativity, or maybe you just want to meet another neighbor. So this first episode, episode one of season two, is going to be curated by me, Trev. And I'm the first neighbor because I want the second neighbor to kind of have a blueprint for what it is that we're looking to do. The second neighbor I want to connect, we want to showcase their story, and the third neighbor and the fourth neighbor, until the screen of hearts is filled with names, the gatherings. So without further ado, let me go into my curated piece, my art, my passion. And just to give you a little bit of background, I've spoke about this briefly in past episodes, but I will speak about this more in future gatherings. But my background in video was one of the videographers at the time. At the time, videographers were older guys. I say older, that thing, I was in my 30s now. I'm one of those older guys in my 50s. And back then, videographers were laughed at. They shot wedding videos or industrials. They wore those vests with all the pockets and equipment for videographers and photographers. They'll always have tripods and a big old camera. And when I grabbed my camera, the digital video just started coming on the scene. But the filmmakers are using them for films and for music videos. And I wanted to do something different. I wanted to use the skills that I learned, that I was learning at the time. I was not much of a videographer. And I wanted to tell the stories of my neighborhood, of my friends, my artists, who could not afford the, you know, tens of thousands to shoot a music video, or who were not piquing the interest of film crews. And I said, why don't I take this camera and just go from place to place, anywhere that I see art? And I remember being inspired. I was sitting in Washington Square Park in Union Square Park in Manhattan, and I was sitting and watching these dancers dancing, and they had so much energy, and it felt so beautiful, and it felt like, man, if I could only document that. And I remember that being my inspiration to want to get a camera and just point it at them and tell their story. And at the time, again, nobody was doing shooting and documenting these stories, at least not in the downtown Manhattan or in the Brooklyn scene. And I got a camera with a pitch. Friend would lend me his camera, and then I would later had somebody lend me the money to buy a Panasonic DVX-100, and I started documenting. So these videos here that I'm going to present to you now, just a little bit of background. They're now posted on YouTube. They were posted maybe 15, 17 years ago on YouTube, but initially they were posted on our website, The New Pop Sensation. It was only after, and because our player was much, believe it or not, was much more high def, better quality, better functionality than YouTube. Yeah, believe it or not. It was custom made, and YouTube had these little windows. Those of you who you may find it unbelievable, and they were basically the worst SD quality that you could find. So we created our own platform, The New Pop Sensation, and it was a even to this day, when I think about it, it was really advanced, even for a website now. We had embedding, we had where you could create a profile. It was a whole deal. And we just didn't want to deal, you know, YouTube was just the quality. That was a real reason why we did it. The quality was just so bad. And we wanted to get higher quality videos. And so we shot these videos. And for many years, maybe for the first 5-7 years, I probably posted maybe one video on YouTube once they upgraded their player. But all of these videos that you're about to see, except for maybe the first one, I think even the first one, all of these videos were posted on a different platform. It was only years later that we uploaded it to YouTube. And so the dates, you will see the title will say the actual date when they were documented, but the posting is from the later publishing to YouTube. So again, this is videos from me going from place to place, and I'm going to do it Ricky Powell style. Ricky Powell was a photographer, was considered the fifth Beastie Boy, and I met him a couple of times, and he would do these slide presentations that were so popular. Slide presentations of his photos of artists like Run DMC, LL Cool J, you name it, Big Daddy Kane, all of these guys, he would document them, the Beastie Boys, of course. And now, you know, years later, he would have these parties and events that were slideshows. And I went to a couple of them, and they were just always entertaining. Ricky would be there describing the story behind each photo. And they were events. They were gatherings. And this is an inspiration for what it is that we're doing here with our gatherings, with the Hello Neighbor gatherings. So I'm going to play some videos. This may be a little, you know, it'll probably take a little, a few times for me to really get the flow of this, or even in this episode, but maybe later episodes we will have a flow of this, or at the gatherings we will have a better flow. So bear with me, but I will play these videos and talk over them when I can. And so you can get an idea of what my life was, what my inspiration for videography and my art was. So without further ado, I welcome myself, Trev, for episode 1, season 2 of Spread Love FM. And this is, let's cue the tape. So this video is Tone, my photographer buddy. It was two of us, Tone, and that's me right there. I was the videographer. He was the only cameraman you see in most of these places, a photographer, and I was the only videographer. If you look at the crowd, you would see, this is at PS1 in New York. That's him shooting the photo, and then you will see him shooting me, shooting the, you know, documenting the video. And I don't know if this is going to play, so we may have to cut this off at this point or cut down the volume for YouTube. But this was our first experience shooting together that I remember. We were actually documenting an artist. I forgot her name. Kudu. And she was performing here, and we did our own video before that. There's another story that I can't find. I've lost some of these videos. But look at that. All of these people, he takes a photo, everybody looks at him because he's the only photographer there. Can't do that today. Today, all of these folks would have phones. On that day, Tone and Trev were the only ones documenting this. And, yeah, so let's, we're going to move on. I think it's going to move on here to the next video. And, yeah, so this is Zoe Kravitz, Lenny Kravitz's daughter, when she was with a band called Elevator Fight. And we got to hang out with her in Hoboken. We had a place in Hoboken. And, yeah, imagine that. Kid Cudi, we were the only ones documenting. They called us. Kid Cudi, I think he was doing his new video, or I don't know what it was. But we followed him for a day, hung out with Kid Cudi. Life at Glasslands, Big Frida, Glasslands, shut down now in Williamsburg. And yeah, this is me documenting the hipsters getting raunchy. And yeah, again, only camera in the place, telling a story. And what we got next? Big Easy. Sony hired us to go to the Third Ward in New Orleans after Katrina, a year after Katrina, with Rafael Sadiq. Now, I mean, and we documented him performing at different venues at the Superdome, and we got to tell a lot of stories. That was really a moving story. This is The Roots. The Roots hired us to do a documentary series for the album release of How I Got Over. I'm here hanging out in the studio with Amir, Questlove, and
well, when you know I didn't
have, man, these are going fast. I gotta slow these down next time. Futura, graffiti, renowned graffiti artist, and yeah, these are going way too fast. This is one of my favorite videos, probably my favorite party I ever went to, down in Derby in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, at what was Studio B. And what a day this was. This party was so anticipated, and it was a exciting day. People were calling us days. Can you get us in? Can you get us in? You can go to the new pop sensation on YouTube, and I'll have the link in the show notes so you can check out the full videos there. She's an actress now, by the way. A few popular HBO shows I saw her. Wyclef Jean of the Fugees. We were also asked to document him. Again, if I started now, I would not get that opportunity. Fred Armisen.
When you got the news that you were with, when you got
I'll tell you something. The way I got the job was, I did my audition.
Asking about how he got his call for SNL.
And I saved the number on my phone as best call ever. You know when you get a phone number and you're like, who you're gonna log it? I logged it and I still have it. I keep, every time I change phones, it's the best call ever. I came down the elevator.
So yeah, that was Fred Armisen. Oh, this is one that's really kind of dead at the heart. In Bushwick, Brooklyn, one of our friends had a store and had a clothing line and was doing a fashion show at the store way out in Bushwick. And this is typical of what we'll do on a weekly basis, just following our friends. We were the only camera, so they would tell us, make sure you're there. Free drinks. Sometimes we get paid, sometimes we don't. So this is, I forgot the name of this company, store. LP. Great memories.
Day to day responsibilities send me on a trip.
See, that was really cool. Oh, this is the one. Okay, I really like. This is a house party. Really raunchy. Again, back in my days when I was younger and kind of just going with the crowd. I was going out doing all the bad things. And we had a house party, and it was a potluck slash movie, showing a movie night. And we were watching The Last Dragon. And what was amazing about this is there's so many influencers. I hate using that word. At the time, we didn't use that word. But we had many artists that are really big on social media now that were just hanging out. That's Contessa. She was hosting our platform. And the one that she calls a daughter is a huge, you know, she has a name. You'll find out. I'll leave the link there. I don't really want to say it here because this is a spiritual show and we want to keep it clean. But I want to play this video out, so I'll do the rest of the talking over this. This is the last video, actually the second to last video before I go move it up into the days of activism. But all of these are friends that we would see. You know, I would go into any club, any bar, any house party, and we would know most of the people, and this is just how it was. This really captures that vibe. You know, now, and it was a big camera, and you'll see a really quick photo of me. Somebody took a photo of me. And imagine walking around with a camera that big in a place now, you know, people just, you know, they were playing to the camera. They don't really do that now because cameras are mostly phones. And again, it also takes a skillful documentarian, whether you're a photographer or a videographer, to engage people in a way where it's just natural and flow and you catch the right energy. Bonnie, she was really cool. We were singing, it was her birthday as well. And this was in Bed-Stuy. It was Contessa's apartment, basement apartment in Bed-Stuy. And we would go there a lot and talk about how we're going to document, what we're going to do, what are we going to do with the new pop. It's the first time I heard about Hypebeast at her apartment. Hypebeast. But this really captures the vibe of a gathering. You know, a different vibe than the different vibes. Like, this is more of a raunchy vibe, but there's also celebratory vibes. There's educational and inspirational vibes. But the fact of the matter is that it's a gathering. You get people together and good things can happen. But I'm going to end this one here because I want to move on to one more clip. So the one clip that I want to move on to is, so we have, and we have so many other videos. This is just a fraction of what we had. But fast forward the years of entrepreneurship and then the activism. I never really lost the taste, the passion for telling stories, whether it be video or photo, photography. The difference was that now I could use a phone. That's a phone right there that I'm documenting on. And I always continue documenting, even as an entrepreneur. I had this other, you know, so many series in so many ways. That's always telling a story. That's my passion, whether I get paid for it or not, whether I get a million views or two views, you know, something I would do. And I speak about the gathering and the greatest gathering of all time in my life, the McCarran gathering, when we were fighting for social, environmental, and economic justice. The three themes that I keep in my current mission statement. And as we spent those days in that space, you know, it was from a gathering of thousands to a gathering of, you know, a dozen or so, six, seven sometimes, and later on as we went through the months and months and the weather changed, but there was always at least three, four, five people there. But in that first year, when the energy was still kind of new and we were programming different artists and doing different things in the gathering, and probably right before I started my Friday nights, we would have performers. And I remember one particular performance that I remember. And it was from an artist, Kita P, and a talented artist. And I want to share that clip as the final clip in my presentation with you here. Kita P, who does her original music, but she did a cover. And at the time, I did not know of the song. And it was the first time I heard it. And the moment was just one of those moments that you remember and you won't forget. And that, for me, is what a gathering is about, having a moment that you will remember for the rest of your life. And this is the theme of my presentation. One part looking back, one part looking forward, one part being present. And being present is the most important part of this equation. Because I was present in this moment, documenting this moment, I am now able to look back and filled and kind of revisit that moment and that feeling. So without further ado, to close my presentation, I'd like to present Kita P doing the cover of Her, The Best Part. Thank you.
hold me and kiss me slowly. It's the sweetest thing, and it don't change. If I had it my way, you know that you are. You're the coffee that I need in the morning. You're the sunshine in the rain when it's pouring. Won't you give yourself to me? Give it all. I just wanna see. I just wanna see how beautiful you are. You know that I see it. I know you're a star. Where you go, I'll follow, no matter how far. If life is a movie, then you're the best part. Oh, oh, you're the best part. Oh, oh, it's the sunshine and those brown eyes. You're the one that I desire. When we wake up, then we make love. It makes me feel so nice. You're the water when I'm stuck in the desert. You're the Tylenol I take when my head hurts. You're the sunshine of my life. I just wanna see, I just wanna see how beautiful you are. You know that I see it. I know you're a star. Where you go, I'll follow, no matter how far. If life is a movie, then you're the best part. Oh, oh, you're the best part. Oh, oh, if you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you want me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? Love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? If you love me, won't you say something? If you love me, won't you? Love me, won't you? Ooh, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Wow, that's amazing. And that was Kitty P, her presentation with a cover of her, The Best Part. So I mentioned in the beginning that what I want to do at the end of each one of these curated episodes is ask the curator what part of our mission state most resonates with them. And I'm going to ask myself that same question to start it off. You know, for me, actually, I mean, all three are so integral and important to what it is that I feel is represents my activism, my connection to community. But I think the second part is the one that I would like to highlight. To compel our neighbors to take the practical steps we provide that lead to radical social, environmental, or economic change. And the reason I choose that is the radical social change. Oh, my! Every time my Mac goes out, I gotta really put that sleeper on a longer timetable. So the radical social change is what it is that we hope to accomplish with the gatherings. You think about social media and what it has done to us. It's taken face-to-face meaningful encounters and put them in a virtual world. And the harm that that has done, I don't think it's something that while you're in it, you can measure, even myself. It's only as I extract myself from the algorithm that I really see the importance of in-person, face-to-face engagements And this curated piece really speaks to that. The encounters that happened in person. I mean, at the time when they were documented, I mean, there was MySpace, but it wasn't social media like it is today. You know, you didn't have the smartphone, so everything was on the desktop. So once you left your home or was away from your desktop, you were in the real world. And that's all changed with the smartphone. Now you take social media with you wherever you go. And this curated episode really speaks to getting back to that, getting back to real world connectivity, real world engagements, both as a viewer, a recipient of the curation, and as the curator itself, you know, building connectivity one neighbor at a time. And that's what all of those pieces document. You know, even as I sit here in my podcast, in my homemade studio, you know, I want to think outside of this place and about the gatherings and the gatherings that we are about to curate, and how even if we interview people here on the podcast, it's about meeting them in person. I mean, the questions that you may have about the videos that I presented, you know, can't be answered the same way online. If we are in the same room and I'm projecting this and you are with a neighbor and you can talk to them about what it is that you're seeing, or even a look or a gesture. And after the presentation, you can walk up and talk to me and ask me, how was it with this? You know, was Zoe Kravitz this way? Or was Questlove this way? Or did you get to speak to Futura about his time with Basquiat, the artist that I have his book here? Basquiat, he was that was one of the artists that he knew back in the 80s. And that's what it's about, you know? And so that's a radical social change that we want to curate, actually, you know? And so that part of it, to compel our neighbors to take the practical steps we provide, the gatherings, the practical steps we provide to show up, talk to a neighbor, get to know your neighbor, that will lead to radical social change. With the radical social change, the environmental and the economic will follow. So I'm going to leave it at that. Neighbors, thank you so much for allowing me to present my art to you. And if you are in the Hernando County, Florida area, and you want to be a part of the gathering, or if in your own community you want to curate your own gathering, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And I want to end with one final thing. That in that space where we spent all of that time connecting with our neighbors, there was a light pole, and about a year or so into our meetings, that light pole to the right of us, there was a tag that was written on that light pole. And I spoke about this before, and it spoke. And the tag said, "Love is a verb." And I want you to take that away, that the hearts and the love that you give online, that's not enough action to have meaning. That you need to get out and connect with neighbors one-on-one. That action exemplifies what love is. And for us, that love means spirituality. It means something greater than self. And I don't want to leave here without acknowledging the power of God in my life and spirituality. And all of this that I'm doing, all of these talents that I've just displayed to you as a result of a higher power. And that higher power is exemplified in action, in love of my neighbor. So I want you to take that away. I want that to be your takeaway, along with the second pillar in our mission statement. Love is a verb. So, neighbors, the gatherings, scan the code right there if you're interested in connecting with me, or if you're interested in curating, you can scan that code and join on our RSVP link, the gatherings, actually building community one name at a time. So until next time, thank you. I hope this first episode was productive and enriching and fulfilling, and I hope you had a moment and that you were inspired to create your own moments. Till next time, my name is Trev. Thank you so much. I'll leave you with a clip from another one of the videos that I documented. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.
Drink it with warm hot chocolate mochas.
Yes.
Or jog to it.
Yeah.
You can give it to your daughter who's four. You know, it's exactly. It's a community album. Come on.